Spirit, that they so reasoned within themselves, he said unto them, Why reason ye these things in your hearts? Whether is it easier to say to the sick of the palsy, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, Arise and take up thy bed and walk? But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, he saith to the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, Arise, and take up thy bed, and go thy way into thine house. And immediately he arose, and took up the bed, and went forth before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed, and glorified God, saying, We never saw it on this fashion. Let's pray, and then we'll go on today. Lord, help us to hear from you and your word today, and that we would be better for it. Help us to be spoken to by the Holy Spirit, and that you would speak to each heart. I pray if there's someone that does not know you as their personal Savior, they're not ready to die, that they would understand that need is their greatest, and that they would understand the immediate emergency of it. I do pray for us to be like John Harper, to have the eternal destiny on the minds, our hearts and minds, for each person, to recognize that in spite of the busyness of life or the routine things of the day and the materialistic world that we live in now, there is eternity that really matters. Help Christians to get over themselves and to give the gospel this week. Help each of us to be used of you and to die to ourselves, recognizing the greatest mission we have is to spread the word. And I pray that you'd help us to be faithful friends, to bring people to the Savior. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. There's some things I want to point out here. First of all, these are all P's, by the way. The man's paralyzed condition. The man's paralyzed condition. The Bible says in Luke 19:10 that the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3 and 4, the Bible says that the God, little g, God of this world, has blinded the minds of them that don't believe. He has blinded the hearts and minds of a lot of people. They are blind. They are unaware of how blind they are. They do not see what you and I as believers have opportunity to see, and that is the eternal ramifications of everything. With eternity's values in view, they're blind. And because of their foolishness and their sinfulness, they do foolish things and stumble in darkness. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 says, And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. Before you're saved, you're just dead in sin. You are lost, you are blind, and you are dead. You are dead meat, as they say. You are on your way to hell instead of heaven. And this man represents the paralyzed condition of humanity. Because of sin, Adam and Eve being the first, and then all of us also being sinners as well, and inheriting that nature, we all sin. And because of our sin, we are doomed and destined to hell in the lake of fire and are lost in our blind condition. And only through salvation and the miraculous new birth and the gift of God of eternal life are we able to be unparalyzed, to be made whole, as this man got in this story. And so notice number one, the man's paralyzed condition. He's got a problem. He has a problem. He can't fix himself. But notice number two, the partners in service. You got to love these guys. It says in verse 3, And they come unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four. That means that they carried them. All four probably had a corner of a stretcher or some kind of a material. And they were carrying their friend, I assume it was a friend, carrying this man to Jesus. And it says in verse 4, When they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was, and when they had broken it up, they let down the bed whereon the sick of the palsy lay. These partners in service, notice they had faith. Verse 5, When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. I don't know who had more faith, the guy that was in the need in the stretcher or the other four that was carrying into him, but they all together had faith. And they saw their faith. Folks, it's real possible that you might have more faith in Jesus to heal your friend or to save your friend than your friend has right now. Wouldn't that be the case? I mean, I would say that probably I know people right now that I have more faith that they can be saved than they do. That's why they're not saved yet. But my job is, and my opportunity is, to carry them to the Lord. I'm thankful for these four guys. I don't know their name, but they were partners in service, and they received a great reward that day for their their work. I know Jesus can heal people, and I know Jesus can fix people. But Jesus desires for us to bring people to him. I wonder how ambitious we are to do that. Well, we put up a sign. We told them what time the church doors are open. It's their fault they don't come. Well, the truth is, they ain't coming. And I don't know why they're not coming, but most of the folks that need Jesus don't come to church. In fact, church is made up of saved people, and they don't feel like they belong. They can, and they're welcome, but they're just not going to come on their own. And maybe it's because they're spiritually crippled. And maybe they don't even know how to come. Maybe some of them don't think they're welcome to come, whatever the case might be. What I love, though, are these guys, these four who could come. And they brought their friend, their whoever he was, their patient, they brought him to the Lord. I'm also encouraged because when they came to him, bringing one sick of the palsy, born of four, verse 4 says, when they could not come nigh unto him for the press. You read Luke chapter number 5 and Matthew 9. They come to the door, and there's a multitude of people, probably the crowd, spilling out the door. And they see that. Bummer. We should have come earlier. And maybe, you guys tried. Thanks anyway. It was a nice thought. I guess we'll go home now. Look, they didn't say no or take no for an answer. They didn't allow something in their way to stop them. I'm so glad for friends like that. Well, we tried. Hey, not our fault. We tried. And they could have said they tried. They could have carried him home. Well, we tried. Just wasn't meant to be, I guess. You know what they did? They were ambitious, and they had enough ingenuity to figure out a way. But that way is probably going to cost them, because usually when you tear up somebody's roof, they expect you to fix it. These four guys went up onto the roof and tore it up enough to lower him down. I think that's where a lot of us fail. Well, I gave my neighbor one of these. I said, you better read that. That was 5 years ago. They should have read it by now. Well, you know, you might want to talk to them about that. You might want to try a little harder. You might want to give them another one or remind them. And maybe they'll give you some smart aleck answer, or maybe they'll say, I already got one. I don't want another one. That's okay. You need to have another one. I just a year ago, I was at a meeting, and a preacher was telling how he took out a tract, and he gave it to this guy. And here's what the guy did. He looked right at him and went. Preacher looked at him. Now, what would you do? Preacher looked at him, reached in his pocket, and grabbed another one. Maybe you'll like this one. The guy looked at him. Preacher said, I got one more. Maybe you'll like this one. And the guy was so impressed by the preacher's boldness and obvious care that the guy didn't tear that one up. Pastor Wells said instead, he listened to me talk to him about it. And he got saved. I think sometimes we just get too easily defeated. I think sometimes we just get too easily discouraged. Can't get through the door. I guess I'll just quit. They got up on the roof, and maybe even the crippled man said, oh, guys, don't do that. Guys, you're getting to be extreme. No, they tore it apart. Apparently, at least one of them said, no, he needs to see Jesus. Jesus can help him. I love the partners in service here. Notice also the problem people. There were problem people. They were in the way. Verse 4 of chapter 2 of Mark says, couldn't come nigh to him for the press. In the other passage, it says there were multitudes. There was just a crowd of people. They're problem people. They're in the way. Now, I don't blame them for being there. They're there for the same reasons. But here's what I know about them. Here's what I know about them. They're not there for the same reasons that the four guys are there for. Right? Those four guys came for a different reason. You know what we got today? We got the same thing going on in church today. Everybody's coming for themselves. I don't blame you for coming for the Lord. You want to get close to the Lord. You want to find out what you need to know. And it's all about, what can God do for me? But I'll tell you what's really a blessing when you come because you want somebody else to find it. You ain't just coming. You're bringing. Anybody do any bringing today? We got a lot of comers. We don't have very many bringers. I'd think that if you talked to your friend and said, look, I know Jesus can fix your problem. I know God could do a miracle in your life. He did a miracle in my life, and I know he can do it in your life. Why don't you come? I got a feeling somebody'd come. So I wonder why nobody's coming. Because we ain't bragging about him. Bible says in James 1, be not hearers only, be doers of the word, and not hearers only. The crowd were the hearers, and they're in the way. Do you know there's a lot of people that are religious, but the truth is they're just kind of in the way? If we do have a visitor come to church, and we have visitors today, but if we have a visitor come to church, please don't walk up to them and go, that's my seat. First of all, it ain't. And secondly, who cares? Excuse me. We're trying to... Do you think maybe they did this before they tore the roof off? Excuse me. We've got a friend here. He needs to see the Lord. Would you let us pass? Sorry, pal, you should have come earlier. I was here first. Don't make me move out of line. The problem people are in the way. I wonder if we got religious people. We're all coming because it's for us. How about we come for bringing somebody else to the Lord? And how about we take a step back and say, hey, you can have my seat. I would like to let you take my place. Now, you know why there were problem people there? The culprits are these scribes and Pharisees, the religious leaders of the community. The community is Capernaum, Mark 2:1. Look at Matthew 11. Matthew 9 is the same story. Two chapters later in Matthew 11, verse number 20, notice what Jesus said about Capernaum. Matthew 11, I'll start in verse 23. And thou, Capernaum, which art exalted unto heaven, shall be brought down to hell. For if the mighty works which had been done in thee had been done in Sodom, it would have remained until this day. But I say unto you that it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for thee. Do you realize what Jesus said about that town? He said, if Sodom and Gomorrah had had opportunity like you have had, they'd repented. It's going to be more tolerable for Sodom on Judgment Day than it is going to be for Capernaum. Wow. Why were the people, the majority of the people, not interested in bringing someone else to the Lord? I think it's because the control of that community was by these guys named Pharisees and scribes. And notice Jesus rebuked them and reproved them. It says here in verse 5, when Jesus, back in Mark 2, verse 5, when Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. But there were certain of the scribes sitting there and reasoning in their hearts. By the way, I'm guessing most of the crowd was standing there. But notice who was sitting there. They didn't give up their seat. Because after all, they're scribes and Pharisees. They deserve to sit there. But there are certain of the scribes sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, thinking in their mind, why doth this man thus speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only? And immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they so reasoned within themselves, he said to them, why reason ye these things in your hearts? Whether is it easier to say to the sick of the palsy, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, arise, take up thy bed and walk? But that thou may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, he saith to the sick of the palsy, I say to thee, arise, take up thy bed, and go thy way into thine house. The Pharisees are reproved. Why? They're the unbelievers. Listen, I love it when it's a full crowd. I love it when we have standing room only. That's great. But listen, I'll tell you what, unbelievers don't do us any good. If you're religious but you're an unbeliever, you're just in the way. And these guys controlled the atmosphere to the point where Jesus said, it's going to be more tolerable for Sodom in the day of judgment than for you. The Pharisees were reproved, as they always were. But the partners didn't let this stop them, and they went up onto the roof. And so notice now the power of God is realized. Verse 5, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. That's the power of God. The Pharisees were correct when they said only God can forgive sins. The problem was they didn't believe he was God. But now we're seeing two things happen at the same time. Number one, thy sins be forgiven thee. And oh, by the way, that was the best of the two things he did for that man that day. Forgiven. So, well, but he was crippled. Oh, but you know what? He's eventually going to die physically. But forgiveness lasts for eternity. And he forgave him his sin. The power of God is realized in forgiveness. Of course, the unbelievers didn't believe that he could forgive sins. I do believe with all my heart that that cripple knew he was forgiven. I think before he ever stood up and walked, he knew in his heart, I have just been forgiven of my sins. Wow. And Jesus says to the Pharisees, you think it's easier to say sins forgiven or take up the bed and walk? Let me show you that I can do both. I have power on earth to forgive sins. Let me stop here in verse number 10 and remind you of something. The Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins. But afterwards, when you stand before him, it'll be too late. He won't be able to forgive sins then. Did you know that? Right now is the time for you to get forgiven. When you stand before him, it'll be too late. But right now, he has power on earth to forgive sins. But on judgment day, it is too late. You can't wait to stand before God and then get forgiveness. It'll be too late then. Salvation is a now thing in this life. And the power of God is realized, first of all, in forgiveness and then obviously in healing. He saith to the sick of the palsy, verse 11, I say unto thee, arise, take up thy bed and go thy way into thine house. And immediately he arose, took up the bed, and went forth before them all. Point number 6, the paralyzed man, no more. He is not a paralyzed man anymore. Take up thy bed. And he took up the bed and went forth before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, we never saw it on this fashion. Can I tell you, when the Lord Jesus Christ comes into your life, you will be given a new walk. There's a new walk. You're no longer lost in sin, dead in trespasses and sin, blind, but now you can see. And salvation gives you a new walk. If you are saved, walk in the newness of life, the Bible says. Would you agree with me that that guy went home a different way than he came? And that's what happens when you get saved. You go home a different way than you came. Salvation changes your life. Meeting Christ and having Christ forgive you and cleansing you takes on a whole new meaning and results in a whole different path. Speaking of those partners, I can just see four heads looking down from the roof, right? And I can see Jesus talking to him and the Pharisees sitting. And the crowded curious ones in the way watching. And the four workers who by this time are they're sweating. Did you know it's okay to sweat for Jesus? Getting sunburnt on the roof. Oh, this is beyond reasonability. I just wonder if maybe somebody might come by the booth this week and see you sweating and perspiring and getting sunburned and saying, "You're doing this for me?" Why? Because we need to get you to Jesus, that's why. I can just see those four guys. And I can see Jesus talking to them. And all of a sudden, their friend stands up and picks up the bed he was carrying and walks. And by this time, they're doing high fives and they're probably, woo! And now the crowd that wouldn't let him in is letting him out. Oh, go ahead. And he's walking out the door, dragging that bed. And I'm sure those guys, woo! And probably they're doing a dance up there and high-fiving and having the time of their life. Lastly, number seven, the praise went to God. It says in verse 12, went forth before them all insomuch that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, "We never saw it on this fashion." I know there's some impossibilities. I know there's some drunks and some drug dealers, and I know there's some really hard cases and atheists and people that are just so disgusting and hard to deal with, and they seem to be the most God-hating people in the world. But you know what will happen if they get saved? The whole town's going to say, "We never saw it like this before." I wonder if God wants to use you to bring that one to Jesus. It takes work to bring people to the Lord. They're probably watching their friend dragging that bed up the hill and over the horizon as he's going down the road back to his house. And I'm sure he's skipping and running and probably turning around and waving at the four friends on the roof. And shaking that bed, and they're probably just excited. Whoa! And then he goes a little farther, and whoa, they do another cheer, and then he gets over the horizon. Whoa! And they look at each other. "We should have asked him to help us put this roof back together." Hey, listen, maybe you used to be the cripple, and maybe it's time for you to help get someone else to Jesus. Anybody here, you just were born already saved? You don't need to be born again because you're just born the first time already saved. Nobody ever had to bring you to Jesus. You never need Jesus for anything. Anybody like that? Me neither. So you know what? Somebody brought us to the Lord. Someone born again us. We got born again through the Lord Jesus Christ. Somebody brought me to church. So the question is, since you have been healed and forgiven, have you brought somebody to Jesus? Man, you got a story to tell. "I don't want to tell my story, Pastor. It's awful. It's embarrassing." Hey, if you're a cripple and you're laying in your bed day after day, do you think that bed smelled very well? Do you think there might have been some stains on that bed he was carrying that used to carry him? Notice Jesus said, "Arise," and this is weird, "take up thy bed and go thy way into thine house." Take your bed back with you. Why didn't he just say, "Toss that thing in the dumpster as soon as you get out the door"? Why did he say, "Take it with you"? Here's why. Hey, what are you doing with that thing? "This is what used to carry me. This is the slimy, stinky old thing I used to lay in. Now look at me." And he told me to carry it. And I think I know why. Because it's a sign. It's a billboard. It's an advertisement for what he did for me. Don't be ashamed of the bed that he saved you from. I mean, be ashamed of it. But don't be ashamed of it if he saved you from it. Use it. Tell other people. They need to hear your story. Truly, the best way to witness people is just to tell people your story, how you got saved and what you used to be. And you don't have to give all the details, but say, look, I used to be in a rotten, stinking bed, and Jesus got me out of it. This is my story. If you're saved, you can do that. And you should do that. Don't be embarrassed to carry your bed. He said, take up thy bed. And immediately he arose, took up the bed, and went before them all. His testimony, now carrying the bed that used to carry him, was a huge sermon to people, insomuch that they were all amazed, and they glorified God, saying, we never saw it on this fashion. I want to encourage our folks in church to understand, you don't have to have a perfect record. In fact, nobody's impressed with a perfect record, because there ain't one. But what you have to have is a salvation testimony that you can share with someone and say, hey, I didn't used to think this way. I used to be like you. I used to live for myself and do this and that. But listen, one day God saved me and changed my life. And now I have a stinking bed that I no longer have to use, but I carry it just to show people what he did for me. That's what witnessing is. And those four friends up on the roof gladly worked hard to tear it up, only a few minutes later to put it back together. And that newly saved and healed man is carrying that bed back home. Honey, kids, look! I just wonder if you can think of somebody right now you should be carrying your stinking bed to. Hey, my life's changed. Things are different now. That's what our job is to tell people about the Savior. People stick a pin in a certain part of the country and I'll say, I used to live there. And my dad used to work there. Oh, really? What does he do now? He's a preacher. Well, that's a different life than what, yeah. Because God changed his direction. And God saved him. Changed my life as a result. I hope you think about this message today, because I guarantee you if we'll just stop and take our focus off of our selfish life, we can think of somebody that needs to be brought to Jesus right now. We might even think of somebody we don't know their name, but we know they need to hear about the Lord. And you might get a lot of rejections, and there might be people standing in the way, and there might be a lot of obstacles in your way, but I'm telling you right now, if you've ever had a part in leading someone to the Lord, it is the greatest thing in the world. I look out in the crowd right now and I see people that I have had a part in leading them to the Lord Jesus Christ. And every time they come, it's just a thrill to my soul. And even bigger when I see them bringing somebody else now. Wonder if you're like the four friends or if you're like the people inside. Which would you rather be? Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word today. We thank you for opportunity that you've given us to spread the word. Help us not to be just the religious in the way crowd. Just kind of showing up for our own curiosity and our own self-satisfaction. Our own self-need, but not anyone else's. Lord, make us like those four that came for a different reason. Help us to bring people to you, Lord. Help us to be soul winners. Help us to see the greatest need in the world is the one you've given us to do and to bring people to you. Thank you for that one that brought me to you, for that one that brought the other saved in this room to you. Lord, may we be challenged and convicted to do more than we're doing. I pray if there is someone here that is not saved, they don't know you, they're not on their way to heaven if they died, that they would receive you today. In fact, with our heads still bowed, I'm going to ask, would there be someone that would say, Pastor, I don't know if I died today, I'd go to heaven, but I would like to just raise my hand and let you know I'm concerned about it. Would there be anyone with a lifted hand say, Pastor, I'm not sure if I'm saved. I'm not sure if I'm on my way to heaven, but I'd like to visit with you about it. Anyone at all? And secondly, the question is, are you like the four or those people inside? Again, Lord, we thank you for your word. Thank you for opportunity that we have again this week, especially a special time. But not just this week, help it to be every day of our lives that we continue to talk to people about you and do our best to bring people to you, even in hard times and with obstruction, that we will still do our best to bring people that need to hear you and see you. Thank you for your word. May it speak to our hearts today. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. We're dismissed.